Like to call the Commerce, Gaming, and Land Committee meeting to order. Today's December 10th. The time is 10:01 a.m. We're scheduled for a two-hour meeting till noon. Roll call, please.
Congressman Tillman?
Here.
Congresswoman Stabler? Congresswoman Goodfox?
Present.
Congresswoman Lennon? Congresswoman Pratt? Congresswoman Whiteline?
Here. I received notice from Congresswoman Lemon that she'll be here at 10:15. Prayer is the next item on our agenda. Mr. Reddigal, Chairman Reddigal, would you please lead us this morning in a word of prayer?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Heavenly Father, we come to you to bring this beautiful day. We give you the thanks for the fall weather that we experienced, the colors, and how we went through the coldness of winter. We look to you for the light and the warmth upon our hearts and upon our minds and spirit. And we follow the path that you laid out for us. We ask that you continue to guide and lead us. Show us thy will, Almighty God. Show us thy love and mercy upon our people, the ones that have and the ones that have not, Almighty God. The lost, the homeless, and the helpful this day. Grant them, Almighty God, the morsel of food and the warmth today. We thank you and ask in thy name. Name yourself, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We have two sets of minutes to approve, one from September 28th and November 26th. Let's approve the September 28th first, and I'm waiting on a motion.
Motion to approve the minutes for September 28th.
A motion and a second from Congressman Tillman. Any discussion? All in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed say no. Minutes September 28th are approved. Congressman Goodfox moved, Tillman seconded. The next minutes are November 26, 2018. There a second?
Second
from Congresswoman Stabler. Any discussion? All in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no.
Abstain.
I have one abstention from Congresswoman Goodfox. Minutes are approved. Thank you, committee. Next item on the agenda, give a little overview. Today is an informative meeting from two of our LLCs. We have Bluestem Ranch LLC here present at the meeting. The representatives from Bluestem are board member Hank Hangzinger and board chair Mr. Jim Perrier and Amanda, help me with your last name. Amanda, I know that. Amanda Kendrick is their title? Is their business manager. We have them with us today. And then we have a lot of people with us from Osage Nation Environmental Solutions, LLC. We have their board chair, Mr. Eddie Redigal. We have Mr. Chuck Hesser, Mr. Randy Standridge. We have Mr. Anthony Webb, all board members. We have Mr. Conrad is of the company, correct? And they have others with them here today, which they can introduce to us when we visit them. Today's meeting is an overview of where each one of these LLCs are. They can tell us what's been going on in their business. I'd like as much of those discussions to be able to happen in open session. I have put an executive session under each LLC's time in case we do need to go into executive session to discuss any confidential and proprietary information. So when it's your turn to come up here and talk on the agenda, let's talk as much as we can about our business, because I know the Osage people are curious to know how our businesses are progressing. They were a pretty discussed topic a few months ago, so we want to keep that going. We want to keep a forward momentum going to try to better and improve the economic development arms of the Osage Nation. So I thank you for being here. Next item on the agenda is Blue Stem Ranch LLC update. Chairman Perrier and Amanda and Hank, would you, Mr. Hangzinger, would you please join us at the table and
we've got one more.
Excuse me, I am so sorry, Mr. Oldfield. Please come join us too, Mr. Oldfield. I didn't see you sitting back there, but I did speak with you this morning. My apologies. So, Chairman Perrier, during the there were some things that happened during our last CUSO session. There was some legislation that enabled you to be spun out from underneath Tallgrass LLC to be your own standalone LLC. You guys received an appropriation, I believe, of $150,000. Is that correct? Is that the $350,000 during that session. We did have some discussions about what you were going to use the money for, but I'm going to go ahead and let you start wherever you want to. Those are just some of the things that I'm curious about, and then I'll open the floor up to other members to ask questions after you come and give us a brief of
I've got just a little one-page deal.
Okay.
Run down. This is what we've done since the fiscal year 2019, October.
Okay.
For the fiscal year 2019, the Blue Stem Ranch has planned and already executed these things. To start off, the Blue Stem Ranch was taken from under Tallgrass Economic Development, a decision the ranch board members greatly appreciate. The board is still attempting to get new articles of operation from the Attorney General's office. Without these articles in hand, the ranch has been unable to sign lease renewals through the realty office and will not be able to sign new leases. Once new articles of operation are being revised, the Blue Stem Ranch Board would like to rename the ranch Osage Nation Ranch instead of Blue Stem. The board is currently working on having signs made to be placed at each entrance of the ranch, which is you can come into it from a dozen different ways. We'd like to have a sign there to let you know when you're entering the ranch. In October, we sold approximately 1,869 spring calves for approximately $821,000. Few more cents than that, more than we had, and that's more than we had projected they would bring. At the spring calves, we cut back 60 heifers to start a replacement program, a heifer replacement program, as well as 13 bull calves to use instead of purchasing outside bulls, with the anticipation of purchasing approximately close to 500 more cows this year. The grazing acres previously leased out will be reduced to provide acres needed to run the Osage Nation cattle for the ranch. The Quapaw tribe purchased around 9 Turner bison for $20,000. The decision to sell these animals stemmed from the lack of knowing their genetics. The board is striving to maintain 100% bison genetic herd. In October, we received 51 more bison from the Wichita Mountain Wildlife Refuge, bringing the total number of bison to 71. The board has also elected not to renew the hunting lease of the present hunting club, but rather we're going to hire our own employee to procure hunters and manage the leases. This decision was made with the goal of producing more income and creating another job for the ranch. Interviews have been conducted, but a final hiring decision has not been made as of yet. Since the springtime, the ranch has been attempting to build a fire barn to house the fire trucks. These trucks need to be stored in a heated building to prevent the water from freezing and to decrease the time needed to get the truck running in the event of a fire occurs. As you all may know, the ranch experiences many wildfires year round, but mostly in the winter. And thus far, we've already had two out there, and we're able to put them out. The barn is crucial to operations. However, the procurement process has put major delays on the barn construction. At this point, if we accept the current proposed bids, not only are we paying almost $100,000 more than planned, we also have at least 6 month wait until the barn is completed. So far this year, the ranch has, we're redoing some of the houses and the buildings, and we're in the process. I think we've already been on it for a month. It'll take a couple more months. We spent about $50,000 worth of improvements on these buildings. We've also we're eligible. We're gonna get it $62,000 in drought relief money to be received in January. And that's from the FSA office on the amount of cattle we had. And nearly $75,000 in Cerisa control monies, the Natural Resource Conservation Service, and a proportion of an additional $1 million grant money through the Osage Nation Wildland Fire Department for a prescribed burning.
How much was that amount again?
A proportion of $1 million. That's what their grant.
Okay.
That's what Mr. Walker told me their grant was,
mm-hmm.
And they're seeing how much they can use on the ranch.
Okay, thank you.
869 calves instead of 1869.
I thought that was a lot of calves when you said that.
And we still have additional, close to 600 that will sell in probably June or July.
Okay.
So that's where we're at right now.
That was a good update. Thank you, Chairman Ferrier. Any questions?
May I add to that?
Yes,
you,
please.
You had asked about, or you had mentioned the appropriation that we received. We do have plans here soon to purchase some cattle for the spring, and then the remainder will have to be purchased next summer because we're on space restrictions right now until leases run out.
That's a good problem, I think. it is. Thank you. Any comments, questions from the committee? Congressman Stabler.
You talked about the fire barn issue, and have you made any movement on it since the last board meeting? Have you been able to make any correction or anything other than what you reported today? It's going to be 6 months.
When we get it approved, that's going to be how long it's going to take to build it. It should have already been standing with the trucks in it, but it's come to a very slow progress. So.
Where are the trucks now? Are they just in the field?
We've got one of them. We had to cut the back of the truck off, but we have one of them in a barn.
Okay. So it's got a little bit.
just for emergency. The second one is sitting outside the barn. We can fill it up. It'll take about 20 minutes to fill it up, but sometimes 20 minutes means a lot on a big fire. So
you get the rain back out there.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Congressman Tillman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you all for being here. And appreciate the update. And I know you're busy and you're working hard, and there are several things that I'd written down, just wanted to briefly discuss with you. And just staying with the fire barn and the procurement process and what we're going through. And I had heard some interesting conversations of the bids went out on your own. You all put bids out and you received bids back, and I think the bid that you liked was around $100,000. And then we found out that anything over $50,000 with the Osage LLC has to go through procurement. And then that process happened and bids came back same barn, double the price, or was it a different barn?
There were changes made in it, and that's part of it, but not near what the amount reflects, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There were some changes made, but not $100,000 worth to us.
Okay. And of the bids that you've received, now, have we chosen one? Are we set on one? Do you have?
No, it's the procurement office. It's in their hands right now, and we're still waiting for an answer on that.
We don't get to choose.
Yeah.
Okay. So, do you know what bids they're looking at currently?
Yes.
We were given the three bids, but the second lowest bidder is Osage, so they're giving opportunity for them to meet the low bid, and that's the last word that we have gotten. And that's been 2 weeks ago.
And 2 weeks ago.
And also, we've asked to see a materials list, and we don't have that yet.
From the bids?
Yes, a material and a subcontractors list.
Okay.
And we haven't received it yet. That's what we're waiting on. We just want to compare the two.
Sure. The one you put in at $100,000 initially, it was one that you all agreed upon amongst the board members that had materials list, it had everything that you were looking for. Is that correct? And you all were sought, but then you were told by someone that you had to go through the procurement office.
Right.
Okay, who is that someone?
Farron had the thought that we had to abide by the Competitive Bidding Act, and then we talked to the realty office, who confirmed that we had to go through them, and then we also had to have them approve our blueprints, supposedly, so we went through that process.
Mm-hmm. And our legal analyst, Mr. Gill, is that proper that the LLCs do have to...
They are required to abide by the Competitive Bidding Act, and anything over $1,000 does have to go out for bid. In scenarios like this, what they can do in the future is if they know of a contractor that can produce a lower bid, they can ask the procurement office to send the request for bid out to that specific contractor, and hopefully they'll make their bid along with everybody else according to the requirements, and then you'll have that lowest bid.
And thank you, Mr. Gill. And did that happen? Did you all submit the bid that you liked on your own to the procurement office?
No.
The specs were different.
We changed some of the specs on it.
So. Okay. Well, thank you. Back to the articles of operation that you're waiting on. And Mr. Gill, don't go too far.
Okay.
The Articles of Operation and the legislation that was passed here in this Congress to allow you to separate yourselves from Osage LLC, and now we're being told that the Attorney General's office is currently reviewing or developing the articles of operation for you to be able to complete that separation. Is that true? Is that?
Yes. Short answer, yes. We thought that after it came through Congress that the Attorney General just had to go in, make minor changes, and then those would be done, and that's been a while ago. Since then, it has gone from one assistant AG to another, and she's finding a lot more problems, and has, I have been bugging her for several weeks now for a draft, and we're supposed to meet her this afternoon, supposedly to get that draft finally. But we haven't seen any of the changes they're making yet.
Okay. One of the conversations that I had with our legal analyst was to also, I think there was a shared opinion or there was between us that we thought the legislation provided you with the ability to continue on without, well, maybe with some minor changes, but these sound like more than minor.
We don't know exactly what they are either.
Okay. Mr. Gill, have you been in contact with the AG's office? Any news?
Yes, Second Speaker, I have been in contact with Mr. Clint Patterson. I spoke to him about this issue. The opinion that you referred to that came out, it failed to recognize that some of the legislation that we passed and focused solely on the resolution that we passed, authorizing the action, but it failed to recognize that we had amended the Limited Liability Companies Act with sister legislation at the same time. And so I brought that to the AG's office opinion, or I brought it to their attention, and I've talked to Clint Patterson one other time since then. Talk to the chair of this committee. I believe there have been conversations with Ms. Curry, but I have not been in contact with her directly over this issue.
Okay. And
what, if I may ask, what time is that meeting this afternoon?
1.
Okay. Maybe if we get some information at the meeting at 1, please share that.
I think we would probably have to.
Okay. And how is this hampering you all right now with? You mentioned earlier something about leases, and right now you're not being able to sign any leases, and talk to me about that a little bit.
That's just what we were told.
The realty office, prior to us being separated from Tallgrass, we are able to sign those leases for renewal, but anything that has come up thereafter, they are telling us that they have to have our articles of operation before they can even start the renewal process. And so they're not sending us leases. The people are not getting paid for those leases that we're using until these articles come through.
Okay.
I'm going to interject something here. One thing about these articles that you guys are waiting on and working on, I believe that the legislation gave your board the ability to procure your own attorney and get your articles written and on file. This was not directly a function that the AG's office was to do for you, is my understanding, but that's the way your board chose to have the articles redrawn. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, but you could have procured your own attorney,
sure,
had them written, had them changed, gone down to the tax office, filed them yourself. Could have been done in a matter of couple of weeks, maybe 3 weeks, depending on the attorney that you engaged with. So I needed to say that in there. So government moves slow, business moves fast. Okay, continue.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And lastly, just the improvements on the houses. How many houses? You talked about $50,000. How many houses? Are they worth fixing up, or is it better to tear them down and build new? I'm just curious.
Some of them's kind of on the verge. You know, like the Johnson House, it's getting the brunt of the deal, the siding, the esophagus under the roof, all that is, you can see daylight through it. We're trying to fix it. There's a barn there, horse barn, just where they saddle their horses, keep their horses. Mm-hmm. It was beyond repair. We just tore it down, most of it, and told them just to add a piece on that was usable. There's three outbuildings the roofs have been blown off of. Another one was, let's see, what else was?
There's the shop at Mike's house, yeah. Needed the new roof. Yeah. There's the goat barn that needed patchwork on sides, roof, and then that lean-to needed to be torn off. The salt house at the Bennett Pens where they can store mineral. They need a place to store mineral. Then at the Johnson place, that house received a huge facelift and then the complete demo of rebuild of his horse barn.
Okay, how many homes?
Six buildings.
How many homes total are out there?
Three.
Three total homes. And do we have, I'm sure we do, what year they were built, have we had a survey, how much they're worth, needed repairs going forward? I'm just in my mind, is it?
And like the plumbing and stuff, the septic system, all that, we've already spent a lot of money on that. It needed a big facelift. But the houses, some of them in the future, it would probably be easier to build them in house.
Mm-hmm. What do you call that house John Hurt lived in?
Oxley.
The Oxley, how is it in good shape?
It's fairly good shape.
Yeah, it's pretty good. This is the first time we've done anything at that location, and it's to fix an outbuilding, so it's usable. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the worst house would be the Ferguson by the Bison Pens. Mm-hmm. It would be probably the worst house.
And we've done a lot of plumbing on that in the year that I've been on board. We've done a lot of plumbing, basically redone everything.
We put the house wrap on there, the tieback wrap, it was going to get the tieback. Mm-hmm. Work on some of the windows and
new siding.
Well, the siding and the windows has that tieback wrap on it, supposed to keep the wind from going through. So the outside's going to get a good facelift.
Okay.
But the inside part, I don't know.
The inside's not bad.
And the Ferguson place down there where Austin lives, that's
Lee
lives. The wind has wiped out some of the buildings and stuff, and they've never been fixed from the get-go prior to us.
Not a lot of these buildings that need fixed, they were that way when it was bought.
And we're trying to make it, clean it up, and spiff it back up a little bit, back to some good standards. You know, clean it up.
Usable.
Whip a tin out of it. Things pinned back down and make it look a lot more presentable.
Do you have a lot of traffic out there coming through, people?
I would say yes.
Okay. And the name change again is going to be what you want?
Osage Nation.
Ranch. O-N-R.
Look, sir.
For sure. Okay. I don't care what you call it, as long as you make money. That's it. But thank you all. It's really all I had, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Continue.
Any other committee member have questions, comments? Well, I'm good. I think that everything that we needed to talk about or that I was curious about, you guys have covered. And Congressman Tillman did some pretty thorough questioning, so I'm good. Is there anything else that you guys would like to tell us about at all? We good to go?
Nothing I can think of.
Three of the articles, it's been frustrating for us too.
Mm-hmm.
I think we were aware with the Attorney General's office, just to save money, they offered to help us. That's why we went through them.
Right.
Just economics. And we didn't realize it would go on this long.
Right. Yeah. It's hard to get government to move fast. It's been my observation since I've been working with the government. And I don't think we're really designed to move fast as a government, but businesses are. So I just, you know, I needed to say that I knew that you guys had the opportunity to do that yourself.
But that was, I mean, you know, we're trying to stay in-house, and that's out-of-house, you know, and that's another bill that you'd have to pay. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know.
Right.
Trying to save a little here and there.
Right. Okay. Well, we thank you for coming in. We thank you for spending your time with us this morning. And we're excited for you to have your articles to look at today. So hopefully that'll all go well for you. Have a great day, and thank you.
Christmas.
Chairman Fair, do you mind, I know that those are your personal notes, what you read out to us. Do you mind if we have a copy of them?
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chairman. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it. You're welcome. I guess we didn't need to use our executive session there. And the next item on our agenda is ONES LLC update. We have Chairman Redigal here with us, and 1, 2, 3, 4 board members. Would you join us at the table, and Mr. Conrad, and anybody that we can squeeze into the table, we'd love to have.
Hey, my sister.
I know.
That's so great. She is. You didn't see her back there?
I was wondering if you saw her.
I'm hanging in there.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to point out that we have also in the audience Jackie Jones, who you all know has been working with us for a while. Kurt Walters is also in the audience, as well as Alyssa Campbell, our general counsel, and then Kristen Pratt. She's the newest member of the team. She's joined as the inside sales representative and proposal coordinator, working out of the Washington, D.C. area.
Well, so this is an update, I guess. During the CHISO session, we received an appropriation. Remind me how much your appropriation was.
$600,000.
And I don't think we had to do anything special legislatively for you, did we? Other than the appropriation.
Just the appropriation.
Uh-huh. And so it's been a while since we've got to visit just about what's going on in general with the company. I know that you had some hope and proposals of contracts coming your way. And so we're just wanting to have an update and we can see where you are right now.
Sure. So, in general, I just wanted to say that we've been, first, very thankful for the appropriation. That was, of course, very helpful. And we've made, I think, a lot of accomplishments in doing the business development planning for this next year. And we have also, since that time, submitted the SBA 8A application. And we have some feedback, some of the questions for additional clarity that we have to provide. And some of them rely on us getting additional information out of Osage LLC. But we're working on that. So hopefully we can resolve those questions pretty quickly. So we've also been doing some business development activities. There's some federal working groups that we've attended, and then there's a Society of American Military Engineers that we also attended, where all the Corps of Engineers and Navy and others that do engineering and construction work for the US government, including all the environmental work, we're presenting. So that was a great conference to be able to see the layout
the landscape of the procurement for the federal government in construction and environment, and see, and also see some of the competition. So we noticed that, there were, not everybody attends, but there were several Sea Alaska, some of the larger 8A companies were there in attendance with booths, and Salish and Kootenai was there, and a couple of others. So we've also been doing a lot of activity internally. There were contracts that needed to be updated. Most of our employees are under contract. We were able to transition one employee to make us eligible for the hub zone designation to a W-2 status. So we've been working on the HR and the contracts. And then we've also been signing a number of non-disclosure agreements. First step to partnering and teaming with additional companies that I think are, there's some strategy and knowing who they are and what they work on and the capabilities that they'll bring to us are somewhat proprietary in nature. One I think we can talk about in general, and that's bringing additional technology to what we can offer. And that's with a company that does unmanned sensing. It's a basically, they don't want to use drones, but basically they do unmanned aerial flights for sensing of like methane leaks along pipelines. They've done unmanned sensing mine collapses for safety. They've done aerial in disaster response before boots go on the ground. They actually started with contracts in Katrina, and then they have, they're working on putting these sensors on unmanned vehicles, basically, for lack of a better term, like a jet ski that can stay deployed for up to 3 weeks and sense, do sensing on the seafloor. So this technology brings us capabilities to go after additional projects that I think give us a more of a cutting edge. So we're excited about the non-disclosure agreement with them and diving deeper into what that partnership will look like. So, and then we're looking at, like I said, the additional, there's the status of the existing contract proposals. And then there's new prospects. So that's that we're going after, teaming and partnering to go after new contracts. And then there's additional idea, if you will, that we proposed last week, and we're following up with a letter. We met with the Department of Energy, as well as the Assistant Secretary for Indian Affairs, Tara Sweeney. And basically, in a tribal leader work group, we were able to express a concept that she was interested in, and asked us for a letter, follow-up, explaining in more detail what we had in mind as a policy proposal. And one of her statements was that energy development is going to be her top priority in her administration. So where we play in that is helping them get through all their permits and environmental reviews as fast as possible and as competently as possible so that those energy development activities can occur nationwide. So we have some ideas how we can help her achieve that, and that's what's going to be in the letter that we follow up with. We have PowerPoint that goes into has a lot more detail and data that we can leave with you and do follow up questions with, or we can walk through it if you'd like. But that's kind of an overview, kind of an executive summary of progress. We're getting systems, our house in order. We have the original proposals we developed. There's two others that we're going after since that time, and we're getting ready for the heavier season of the RFPs coming out in the first quarter of calendar year 2019. So the federal government, you know, has gotten their budget, and they're preparing their RFPs, and they'll start coming out now in January, and then awards and negotiating contracts from March to September. So I think we're well positioned prior to that season coming about this year. So we're excited.
Thank you, Mr. Conrad. Any questions from the table, committee? I have a question. Tara Sweeney, you said she was with the Department of Energy?
No, she's Assistant Secretary for Indian Affairs.
Okay,
basically,
Indian Affairs.
Basically.
Okay, my question is, I know that you're talking with her, and my question is, these negotiations and the talks that you have, how does that affect our bottom line? How does that affect Osage, ONES, LLC, bottom line, these talks? I know you have to make relationships, I know you have to make your ends.
So where's
the money there?
Yeah, so the concept is where the Army Corps of Engineers has done a blanket purchase agreement where they put like a whole, everything that they can conceivably contract for in a certain area of space, in environmental permitting, planning, professional services, into a big blanket purchase agreement. They put out an RFP. They intend to make multiple awards, so many millions of dollars over so many years, and then they drop tasks into it for other parts of the Department of Defense. So the concept is their inability to process all the permits nationwide is a stranglehold on the energy development. We're proposing that you do a similar model, like a purchase agreement, and do an RFP that we can compete for. So right now they're not doing that. And right now they're just trying to rely on smaller, more one-off contracts and federal staffing. And it's being criticized. There's some reports from the General Accounting Office highlighting their failure to do workforce planning and meet these timelines. There's there's some legislation coming out. It's already passed the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs regarding the tribal energy resource agreements. Rather than saying that the secretary must approve these within a certain amount of time, they're actually dictating the number of days it must take. Additional time constraints on them, and additional criticism of not completing these things. So the idea is they can surge with contractors, which is us, to complete the work in a timely, effective manner. So that's the concept, that hopefully they take it, issue a blanket purchase agreement, RFP, and then we compete for that where there is no contract currently existing.
Good idea. But government moves slow, so how quick do you think you could, that those changes could be affected to where? Because we don't have the staying power for those dollars either as a company, I wouldn't think, to...
If it comes out in the next round, we don't have the funds to be there for the next round. But if she can get it done, and there's... I have given up on predicting timing of things coming out of the federal government. Sometimes they can happen very quickly. Sometimes they can take years. So there's no, but we've got to get the ball rolling. As they say, every avalanche begins with a single snowflake. So we'll see. Another example, and I don't mean this as criticism, but part of the reason why we've gone with contracts to fill positions that we need in business development. And we do have currently an announcement on Indeed.com for senior environmental scientists so that we develop what's sort of like, if we were a large corporation like Phillips 66, it would be a master service agreement with a number of qualified applicants that, we could, that are pre-approved or screened that we can draw upon to build into proposals and bring in when we get contracts. So we're creating a roster, if you will, a number of, seeing a lot of resumes from people who are environmental scientists that we can use as our horsepower when contracts and proposals. But the point I was making was that we're discussing with Osage Nation HR, and to them, you know, they have all the HR worries of the nation currently on their plate. So we're not the top priority, and we're talking to them about, you know, the potential for a doing a posting, and they said that perhaps they can get to it in about 3 months. So it's they have one person doing the recruiting, so it's you know, it is what it is. So we're kind of using a workaround because we have the ability to do so. But we're continuing to pursue, in parallel, the MOU with HR to do certain activities, partner with us for certain activities. So we're pursuing both paths. So we're not giving up on them, but we understand their constraints. And 3 months would be just too late for us. So, basic government versus business.
Right. Say it again, government moves slow, business needs to be ready to move. Any more discussion from committee, questions, comments? Yes, we can do so. We've got the financials up there if you want to take a look at them.
I think that was one of the proposals in Northwest when they were so big on the gravel thing.
Okay.
I'm trying to pull their head on that.
Okay. One of our committee members thinks that executive session might be a good thing to enter into right now, unless there's any more open discussion. I think I had a couple of questions that you did say in the open portion. Do you mind if I go ahead and ask those before we go in? Okay. The 8A contract, 8A application, and you said that they needed to have Osage LLC answer those questions?
They have to have us answer the questions, so we have to get information from Osage LLC to respond to SB.
So have you guys, so you guys are responsible for getting that information?
Yes.
And have you guys already started that?
Yes.
That endeavor? Okay. So right now, Mr. Conrad, do you guys have any proposals out for contracts? Are have you guys pursued any contracts other than the ones that we were discussed?
We're on teams for two more.
You're on teams for two more?
Okay. One with Forest Service and one with the Navy.
And those would be executive session things to discuss, possibly?
Yeah, I mean, okay. They're kind of the same thing. You know, it's in professional services and environmental and some Historic Preservation Act stuff. So when you go through the National Environmental Policy Act, I kind of talk about them as the big three that also go with that. So there's like National Historic Preservation Act expertise. There's Clean Water Act, Section 404, which is wetlands, mm-hmm. if you're impacting wetlands. And, I'm just totally drawing a blank on the other one. It'll come to me.
NEPA?
No, so NEPA is the main thing. Then there's Clean Water Act, and HPA, and Endangered Species Act.
Okay.
So those are kind of the big three that always get drawn in when you go through the NEPA process. So having expertise to be able to handle those, and when the RFPs come out, they ask for the expertise to handle the full array of all those.
So you've actually bid on some of those contracts then?
Well, we're building those proposals.
The point on that is, you've seen the nation through the years do those on a micro scale. With ONES now and its capabilities, it grows into a max picture, national we're located in Aboriginal land, location, things like that. But with OEDS now and our capabilities, we go throughout the whole country. We go, and even in other countries. But this starts expanding and getting a lot bigger. With the nucleus from the tribal experience that we have already, been using that.
Thank you. Congressman Tillman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And again, thank you all for being here today. I believe it was the last session or one of the last conversations we had. I think you had some small contracts or something that was in the works, and you were pretty confident that we were going to get those, and I can't specifically name what those were. Do you recall?
Well, there was the Southern Plains environmental assessment for Pawnee Oil and Gas Leasing. Mm-hmm. There was the Army Corps of Engineers, Baytalk out of Albuquerque, and there was the Thorndike Sand and Gravel.
Okay.
Those were the three. We were also in discussions. We've pursued additionally talking to the Realty Department. That also, so the nation does, there's an environmental spend that the Osage Nation does, and we're making inroads to talking to those folks and letting them know what we do and letting them know that we're available to do that work. So Realty and others, we're continuing to grind after those.
So since the last time we spoke, and I'm just trying to recall, but I remember you seemed very confident that we were going to get some of the couple of these little small ones, and have we executed an agreement with ONES? Or we
it was
currently?
I think my confidence was really high on the sand and gravel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's potentially $6 million over 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that one continues to languish. So they needed, part of their projects is that they needed a conveyance or across an easement on the shoreline. And the easement was bought by the Navy and it's held by the State Department of Fish and Wildlife in Washington State. The problem is there's a foreign investor that's part of the group that owns the sand and gravel.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to buy that person out so that there isn't a foreign interest involved in the proximity to the naval.
Okay. But since the last time we spoke, has there been any contracts with ONES that provides revenue for us yet? Nothing yet. Okay. The other question I have is, what's the percentage of contracts that you're going to pursue that are technology versus construction?
Generally all of our contracts are neither technology
or construction.
They're all professional services.
Okay.
So, but getting the data that you need to make a professional evaluation of, say, like this easement, what's the population of this gooey duck clam in the bed along the shore, and you know, monitoring if that impacts their habitat, if you will. So
mm-hmm.
you need to
mm-hmm.
gather data
mm-hmm.
on something like that. So using the technology to gather the data would help, but we're not a technology company per se.
Professional services, because it was interesting that another LLC that was here a few weeks ago was claiming that they were trying to get away from construction and focus more on technology.
Okay.
So that's not you all. That's
but,
just
but I
somebody.
I would mention that the environmental complements construction in a lot of cases, and IT complements environment in a lot of instances. So there's a lot of synergy that could be built between the subject matter of our different focuses of different companies.
And going forward, until we have this IDA application complete, that's the priority, correct?
Yeah, the application is complete. coming back with follow-up questions.
Right.
They're encouraged not to just push things through
sure.
without question. And so we're responding to the follow-up questions. And yeah, so we've submitted and then ensuring that we get the designation is the top priority. Now, I mean, after, because we have submitted it, so.
And once those follow-up questions are complete, then we're free to continue after all of these other?
Well, most of these were competing with our small business set-asides. So we're not going after any 8A currently.
Okay.
There are some 8A, some non-disclosure agreements that were signed with companies that have existing 8A in our space. So there's a strategy there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want to talk about who they are, but mm-hmm. strategy is generally if they have existing 8A contracts that the federal government wants to move to another 8A, partnering in advance of them moving it and then drawing upon the existing workforce that has already been performing under that contract
mm-hmm.
is one of those strategies.
Okay. That's all.
Thank you. My question out here now.
Okay. Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Hi, David. How are you today?
Good.
Thank you guys for being here. You mentioned that you've submitted the 8A. They're doing follow-up questions. They're coming back with questions now. And you're needing information from Osage LLC.
Yeah.
Is that what you, and so
partially there's additional information from us. You know, like, I don't know, Jackie, do you remember off the top of your head the list of questions that they're following up?
Yes, some of the information is resolutions through Congress that you guys have made that's already signed into legislation. So it's just updating that information, like the $600,000 we just received from you guys. Information like that is things that we can handle or get from your staff. And the other thing is, like David said, things that we need, information we need from Osage LLC. Their letter from SBA showing that they're certified through SBA and how long.
And I think there was also like the original legislation for their articles of operation or
right,
something like that.
Right, which that's all in their legislation.
Okay.
Which we can get online.
Kurt, did you have?
I did. Good morning, everyone. Two critical things from Osage LLC. One, the SBA needs to determine who is the day-to-day manager. Given the fact that all three entities are owned by the same member, nation, they need to determine who the day-to-day operating of Osage LLC, given the fact that we are now requesting an additional 8A. So the nation, as it states in the government eyes, has two performing small disadvantaged 8A companies. In an effort to evaluate the third, they need to do some due diligence on the existing. And then two, they'll most likely ask the relationship between Osage LLC and OES from an operations standpoint. So those are two critical things. Because keep in mind, the government views all of the entities as a group of entities that work closely with one another.
So they wanted to know who the operations manager for Osage LLC was?
That is correct. They also like to know the primary scope, which is basically the primary services that the other two entities are offering to the government.
Okay, but I seem to recall that we actually got that original letter designating the SBA certification to Osage LLC. We received that from.
No, yeah, that's correct. That's the. Acceptance into the program. Now they're asking who's the day-to-day operating of the entities.
Okay.
Separate.
So the, may I continue, please? Thank you, Madam Chair. So you've done the follow-up questions. You've already submitted them, or you're still waiting on more information?
We're in the process of submitting, uploading all the information.
Information, okay. And when is that deadline?
It's just as soon as possible.
Oh, there's not a deadline, an actual date on there?
Yeah.
Okay. And will there be, was there a possibility of further follow-up questions concern after, do you know?
I hope not.
I mean,
they're always...
It's not uncommon.
Yeah, I mean, whatever we submit could spur an additional question, but we're trying to do overkill with the information that they request. That we try to make sure that we're full, accurate, complete for everything. But
that's one of the duties of our administrative assistant, or executive assistant, Jackie Jones. She monitors this every reading of it, a place of it. As these come back on it, we react to them immediately and try to get the response back to SBA just as fast as we can.
Ms. Jones, I saw your hand a minute ago.
Yes, I wanted to add, first, thank you for acknowledging me allowing me to talk with you guys. But with the SBA, it's new to me in this last year, but I have learned a lot about it, and we're utilizing a lot of free resources to us to help us with the SBA. So we are utilizing PTAC, the American PTAC, and there's a TPTAC out of Tulsa, which we use as well. We also have a resource with the lady at the SBA at Oklahoma City, who has also looked over our application and is helping us with the specific documents that SBA is asking for. She looked it over actually before we submitted, along with PTAC, people of PTAC. And so it was my understanding that once we submitted, it would get kicked back to us because that's normal. However, we did get it kicked back within about 3.5 weeks after submitting. I have talked to other people who have applied months ago and they haven't heard anything in like 6 months. So I think we've got really good feedback and what we need to submit, I think, is not going to be difficult to receive. It's just going to take a lot of maneuvering people to get what we need to finish up the application. And some of, like, having to reach out to Osage LLC, you know, they have their own business going, and so to get, so just, it's kind of like anything else. Sometimes things just take time and communication. And so I think we're going to get this in pretty quick, hopefully have something back within another month but again, we are utilizing other resources that are free to small businesses who are just getting started, that they will help and make sure that we are dotting our I's and crossing our T's and fully prepared to take on these contracts once we get our certification through the SBA.
They assist with compliance. So Procurement Technical Assistance Centers is what PTAC stands for.
Thank you. Any more questions? So we have their latest financials. Is it the committee's will to review the financials of ONES?
Sure.
I think that might be an executive session.
Motion to in our executive session to discuss proprietary confidential matters.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed say no. Congressional staff can stay in executive session. Whoever you guys want to allow to stay in your executive session can stay in. And all other... The Blue Stem Ranch, I'm sorry, this is this company's